set to have a new president, a runoff election to decide America's Samoa's governor and lieutenant governor, and Australia given the all clear to start sending out asylum seekers to Papua New Guinea.
The sounds of Radio Australia beaming out from the studios in Melbourne, reaching thousands of kilometres across the sea to an audience using a wind-up radio in Vanuatu. Not bad quality, and shortwave services can endure storms, coups and the vagaries of terrain, making them a lifeline to our remote and media-starved Pacific Island neighbours over many decades. So when the ABC abandoned shortwave 4 years ago, there was a wave of dismay and alarm, with the federal government eventually setting up a review of Australian broadcasting services in the Asia Pacific, which is still open for submissions. The recent news that China has taken up many of the shortwave frequencies abandoned by Australia has sharpened the conversation about the role of public broadcasting in the region. A one-time head of the ABC's Asia-Pacific Broadcast Services is the latest to speak up, cautioning in an essay for the Lowy Institute that there is a cost to Australia's influence without a strong broadcast offering to the region based on democratic values and engagement with communities. Jeff Herriot is also a former PNG correspondent for the ABC, and when we spoke earlier, we talked first about whether there is still a place for old-fashioned shortwave services.
I think the answer is a qualified yes, because even though shortwave is an old 20th century technology that is rapidly being replaced by so many other forms of digital delivery, for example, it remains the fact that shortwave continues to be really the only form of broadcasting that can cover very large areas of the earth, can jump over mountains, can be an almost uninterruptible source of information for people when cyclones bring down transmission towers or when political emergencies in countries involve censorship or the closure of local media. So yes, it has a role, but it's a very niche role.
So if it's a niche role and we're looking at rapid technological change, is the ABC right to then say, let's move on to other forms, to FM, to podcasting, to other forms of broadcasting?
Yes, of course it is to move on, but at what pace and in what mix, I think, is the question. Because whereas the ABC rightly talks about its use of FM broadcasting in the Pacific, for example, the fact remains that whereas some years ago it had some 11 FM relay stations around the Pacific and Asia, it has only five now. It talks about digital media, uptake of digital social media and so on, but in fact the ABC's reach through those platforms is exponentially less than it used to be in about, you know, in 5-6 years ago. So there's a real problem there overall of reach. It's not just about shortwave, it is about the totality of the ABC's offering.
So by stepping back from a lot of the services the ABC offered in the past, shortwave as a means of delivery, but also reduced numbers of languages on offer, what has Australia ceded in the region?
Well, I think at a time when, for example, the Foreign Minister Julie Bishop talks about the challenges for Australia, the need in this changed environment to be projecting the values of liberalism, rule of law, transparency, all of which are in the nation's interests in terms of its capacity to exert influence, work with other organisations and countries and conduct trade and commerce, insofar as those values are challenged or no longer upheld as they once were, then our capacity to operate is much reduced.
And specifically recently, of course, the conversation has been about China's decision to take up a lot of the shortwave the ABC has stepped back from. That really brings that into much sharper focus, doesn't it?
Well, it does, although I have to say it has long been the case with shortwave frequencies that you use them or lose them. And yes, China is uppermost in the thinking of a lot of people at the moment, but on the other hand, China's presence in the Pacific has been prominent for a long time, and this should not be a surprise to anybody who has taken even a half-baked interest in the Pacific.
How can this be resolved so that Australia can ensure it has that place in the region as a respected contributor in the region?
Well, I think at the moment the government's announced broadcasting review of our media projection into Asia and the Pacific provides a really timely opportunity to revisit some really fundamental issues. The first issue being actually what is the agreed purpose of international broadcasting in the contemporary era? Because, you know, what we face at the moment is not the Cold War of the 20th century, but the conditions are much more like the Cold War than they were of the immediate post-Cold War era. So we are now back in the business of ideological rivalry, back in the business of state-to-state rivalry, and we're at a time when the gravity of great power is obviously shifting. So I think what needs to be done is first to revisit the question of purpose, revisit the expectations of how you go about effectively projecting Australian interests as a democracy, which in my view means reflecting the values of democracy and not simply government talking points, and then looking at the role of an institution like the ABC in terms of what it does well, where it's failed in the past, and how best can the parties reach a new compact on the delivery of these services, whether by broadcast or by social media or by, importantly, collaborations on the ground in helping other media systems develop and developing the capacity of media organisations, which the ABC does very well even now.
Jeff Herriot, whose ABC positions in the past included controller of news and programs at Radio Australia, then in 9 languages.